Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The acting director of the Peace Corps is our guest this hour, joining us from our studios in Madison. She's visiting the UW-Wisconsin campus today, speaking with students at the Global Health Institute on how Peace Corps volunteers are addressing important global health issues and also how to launch a career in public health through the Peace Corps. Our guest is Carrie Hessler-Radelet, and she has a very interesting background. Actually, her family does. Four generations of her family have served as Peace Corps volunteers. Her aunt served in Turkey in 1964. Her grandmother served in Malaysia. Her nephew recently completed his service as an HIV educator in Mozambique, and she and her husband, Carrie and her husband, served together as Peace Corps volunteers in Western Samoa, where she taught high school and helped design a national public awareness campaign on disaster preparedness. She's also worked with a global health organization. She's worked in the field of public health for the past two decades. When we do shows on the Peace Corps, we hear from a variety of people and a number of people in Wisconsin who served in the Peace Corps, because there are many people in Wisconsin who have served. Over 5,500 Wisconsin residents served in this program since it was founded in 1961. And UW-Madison has more than 3,000 alumni who have volunteered. So please tell us where you volunteered. Particularly interested in those of you who have done work in global health issues. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. You can always leave messages for us on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show, or you can tweet at K Dunn Show. Carrie, hello. Thank you so much for being with us. Hi.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Thanks. Great to have you here. Tell me how this became such a family thing for your family. That's a remarkable fact that all these people in your family have served all over the world.
It is amazing, actually. When I honestly can't remember a time when I didn't want to be a Peace Corps volunteer. My aunt was a volunteer, as you said, in the early 60s in Turkey. And as a young child growing up, I would receive postcards from her, and I just thought it sounded so incredibly exciting to be a volunteer. And then when I was in junior high, my grandparents went off to serve in Malaysia. And by the time I got through with college, I more or less felt that I had no other option. Meanwhile, I'd met this great guy, Steve Radelet, and was relieved to hear that he was willing to consider it as well. So we got married, went into the Peace Corps shortly thereafter.
Huh. And your nephew has served just recently, right?
Absolutely. My nephew, Jimmy Schneiderwin, just completed his service in 2009, actually. And he was in Mozambique, where he was an HIV volunteer.
Oh. Isn't it amazing that this program now, Carrie, celebrated its 50th anniversary last year in 2011? And it's probably true that it's going to be around for at least another 50 years.
I certainly hope so. I think it's one of the best programs our country has to offer.
You are speaking at the Global Health Institute in Madison today. How much health work is done by Peace Corps volunteers? And you may want to highlight some of the special health initiatives.
Sure. Officially, 21% of our volunteers are health volunteers, meaning that their primary assignment is in one of seven different areas in public health: nutrition, water, sanitation and hygiene, maternal and child health, malaria prevention, life skills, especially for youth, HIV/AIDS, and then we have a community health education program as well. But I would say that probably closer to 95% of all volunteers do some aspects of health work as part of their service, even if they're serving as education volunteers or agriculture volunteers. All of our volunteers learn about the important health issues in their communities, and it's very common for them to teach about HIV/AIDS as a secondary project, or to have a youth camp where they would be talking about life skills. So I would say that upwards of 95% of our volunteers do some aspect of health work.
Mm-hmm. You have a specialization in HIV/AIDS in maternal and child health, don't you?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's been my life's work.
And let's just talk about some of the more successful HIV/AIDS prevention programs that have taken place, perhaps under the direction of Peace Corps volunteers in various parts of the world. We've heard a lot about Africa. Is that where many of the programs are?
We have health programs around the world. 43% of our Peace Corps volunteers live and work in Africa. So I would say that that's where many of our health volunteers work. And one thing I think that's important about today's Peace Corps is that we are working more closely than ever before with other broader global initiatives and national initiatives in our countries of service. So, for example, you mentioned in my bio that I helped develop the first strategy for the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, which is our country's global HIV program. We work closely with PEPFAR, as it is known, on the ground in our countries of service. Actually, we work in 58 countries around the world with support from the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. And as part of that, volunteers are doing all sorts of different kinds of things. They're working with youth groups. They're helping people living with HIV to remain compliant with their medications. They're doing public awareness building. They are working with orphans and vulnerable children to try to help keep them HIV-free and help them to be able to develop coping skills. They're doing a number of different activities in HIV. The other important program that I'd like to mention is prevention of mother-to-child transmission, which is a very cost-effective way to keep pregnant women from infecting their newborn child with HIV. It's a very inexpensive way involving just a single tablet of antiretrovirals at the time, just before labor, and then a drop of antiretroviral when the baby is born. It's readily available, and yet the uptake of that service has been very, very low. And so volunteers are able to work with pregnant women in their community to dispel some of the myths, to make them comfortable with the idea of going to the clinic. Perhaps some of them don't know their own HIV status, and so volunteers, because of their personal relationships with these women, are able to help them feel comfortable about going to the clinic and getting tested and then getting the services that they and their baby require. So the most important thing that volunteers do is work with their communities on their own priorities, and through the personal relationships that volunteers develop with their communities, they're able to have enormous influence, I would say, around positive, healthy behaviors.
Have we made great strides, or is there still a long way to go?
You know, there have been great strides, actually. Never before in the history of humankind has there been so much progress in global health and in development as there has been in the last 25 years. We have seen incredible declines in infant mortality and in poverty rates, and they really have declined at an unprecedented rate. When I began my AIDS work in 1986 in the Gambia, West Africa, this was after my Peace Corps service, AIDS was just ravaging the continent, and we knew very little about it. It was a really, truly frightening time. I remember my first trip to Uganda in the mid-90s, and the road from Entebbe, where the international airport was, to the capital of Kampala, it's about a 35-mile drive. It was just lined with coffin makers, just hundreds and hundreds of shops that were creating coffins, big coffins, little coffins, for all the people dying of AIDS. If you go there today, there are furniture manufacturers. There are small shops selling, you know, food and you know, crafts and what have you. The coffin makers are gone because of the advent of antiretroviral treatment. And it's just made a huge difference. We know so much more about how to prevent AIDS, and we know so much more about how to keep people healthy if they are infected. And now more than 5 million people around the world are receiving antiretroviral drugs, which are life-saving, from the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. Mm-hmm. So there have been tremendous gains.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, because I think that we take some of this just for granted, Carrie, because the program has been around for such a long time, but some people are just learning about the Peace Corps and just entering the Peace Corps. Can you tell me how people find themselves trained to be in a position where they're in some very remote part of Africa or in Asia or Latin America or wherever, serving a community? How do you get people prepared to do this important work?
We have a 10-week training that takes place in country before volunteers actually begin their service. And we recently, just in the last couple of years, are undergoing an enormous reform effort to improve the quality of our technical training and our program support and our monitoring and evaluation capacity for our volunteers to prepare them for their jobs. We think that although an important part of volunteer work is getting to know their communities and the cross-cultural benefits of Peace Corps, we find that volunteers are so much better able to do that if they have a solid skill. And we want to make sure that they are using the best practice that, based on evidence, those project areas that have proven to have development impact. So we have a very rigorous training program. It involves both language training and cross-cultural training, as well as solid technical training. And then we have periodic in-service trainings throughout the life of volunteer service. It's a 2-year commitment so that volunteers continue to receive training that will help them do their job best in their communities.
And why are there so many volunteers in Africa?
Primarily because the need is greatest there. And we have now quite a rigorous set of criteria for guiding our allocation of resources across the countries. And one of our most important indicators is the Human Development Index, which is an index that's compiled by the United Nations. It's a poverty index. It has, socioeconomic status and health indicators and education indicators and what have you, and is a measure of a country's poverty levels. And so we use that as one way of looking at where we should be in the world. And Africa, of course, has a large concentration of countries that are in the lowest quartiles of the Human Development Index. But we also look at other factors. We look at a country's relationship with the United States. We look at perceptions of Americans. Because we do have 3 goals, which actually I'd love to tell you if that would be okay.
Go ahead, yes.
Our first goal is a development goal. It's to help the people of interested countries to meet their needs for trained men and women. So that's where the technical assistance and community development comes in. But our second goal is to promote a better understanding of Americans on the part of people served. And then the third goal is to promote a better understanding of other countries on the parts of Americans. So the second and third goals are our cross-cultural goals, and those are equally important.
Mm-hmm. And have you found that the number of volunteers that go to various parts of the world has fluctuated widely in the last 50 years? Do we have more volunteers now than we had in 1962 or fewer? Is it up and down all the time? Are we at a level where we should be, or should we have more?
Well, my personal opinion is that we need more. I feel that Peace Corps is one of the best ways for our country to relate to other countries in terms of showing our human face, of showing the interface between peoples and really positive cultural and technical exchange. In terms of the numbers, the highest point, we had about 15,000 volunteers in 1967. That was actually our highest point. It went down as low as 5,000 later on in the Nixon years. And just recently, we climbed up above 9,000, which is the highest it has been since 1970. And right now, we've leveled off at about 8,100, and that largely has to do with budget.
We welcome phone calls, and we'll take them in a moment for Carrie Hessler-Radelet, who is acting director of the Peace Corps, a position she has had since 2010, June 23rd. She was sworn in as deputy director of the Peace Corps, nominated for the position by President Barack Obama and confirmed unanimously by the U.S. Senate. She was a Peace Corps volunteer. Her husband was as well. Her grandmother was, her aunt and her nephew. And we're welcoming phone calls, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk at WPR.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show if you would like to use that form of communication. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's start with a message I'm sure you'll love to hear, Carrie, from Idrisu in Marshfield. Growing up in rural Ghana, the first teachers who made an impression on my life were Peace Corps teachers who lived with us in a boarding school and taught us skills by doing. Before the volunteers, my teachers in the small school were high school dropouts who were the only people who were attracted to teaching in that part of Ghana. So now I teach young American men and women. I like to think of my service here as giving back to the U.S. for the generosity of its people in the 1980s.
Wow, that's wonderful. I think that says it all, don't you?
Yes, it does. That's a great story. Let's go to Harry in Madison. Hi, Harry.
Hello.
Hi, Harry.
Yes. So good to talk to you as the new Peace Corps director. And my wife and I served in Peace Corps 2002 to 2004 in Belize after our three daughters had grown up and left home. And while we were there, I was a sustainable agriculture volunteer. She was in environmental education. And then we were both rural community development in a small Mayan village. But health care or health initiatives were always right there in our ancillary projects. And I ended up, it was probably my primary project as far as bricks and mortar. I helped to the village council to rebuild an old abandoned building into a new health post that they needed with multiple rooms. And it was for the itinerant physicians and nurses to come to the village, and that had a place where they could have private rooms to administer inoculations and health exams and prenatal care to the village. But probably the most long-lasting thing we did was in 2003, midway through our service, a young girl in our village was about to lose part of a scholarship that would enable her to go to nursing school. And we got through our email address book, we appealed to friends back in Kansas where we lived at the time. And we were able to start her out and augment the scholarship so she could start her Bachelor of Nursing training. And we continued that for 4 years after we got back in 2004 with fundraisers and such, and we would support her every year. And in 2009, she graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. We went back there last winter and visited her, and she now is in charge of geriatric health services in a village post near her home village, with all intentions to get as close as she can to her village. So she, to our knowledge, she's the first Mayan woman to finish a bachelor's degree in the Toledo district. And she serves as a real reminder to the young women that, you know, the possibilities through her service. And then she did not leave, but continues to live a traditional Mayan life in a village. So, and by the way, I have a daughter that after we served, she went to Ecuador for 2 years as an agriculture volunteer.
Wow.
So, oh, Harry.
The service continues.
Yeah.
That is so wonderful. I'm very grateful that you brought that up. I think one thing that's important for people to understand is that once you're a Peace Corps volunteer, you're always a Peace Corps volunteer. We don't call them ex-volunteers. We call them return volunteers. And they do just as you and your wife did. They continue to serve as supporters, advocates, ambassadors for their country of service. And most of our return volunteers in one way or another continue to actively give back to their countries and their communities. And what a beautiful story that is, Harry.
That's a wonderful story. Thank you so much for the call. And I guess we should say again, your grandmother served, Harry and his wife served after their children were grown. People of all ages serve.
Absolutely. Our oldest volunteer is 83 years old.
Thanks, Harry. Let's go to Scott in La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Kathleen, I guess you knew I'd be calling in.
I knew that, Scott.
I served in Fiji 76 to 79 as a library educator. Wonderful, wonderful experience. I stayed an extra half year, was the last member of my group out. Couldn't have been a better chunk of my life than being a volunteer in Fiji. But now I do a little bit of work with the Return Peace Corps volunteer group in Wisconsin, and we will work tables at community fairs and things like that, sometimes giving out information, and we do a calendar every year that we sell. And the money that we make from that, we then give back to volunteers in country who are working on various projects. Somebody's, say, building a school library in Nepal. They'll ask us for money to buy books, and we'll send that. So since 87, we've made well over $1 million with our calendars.
Whoa!
And, yeah, and here recently, this year we printed up 38,000 of them. So it's a little going concern for us. But what has happened the last couple of years, and it's just been a real nice kind of a surprise. Sometimes when we're at our table in the community fair, some people will come up and thank us for our service, and it's like, well, thank you. So it's a wonderful group, good experience, and I'd like to give a shout out to all of them. They're a bunch of good folks to work with.
Hmm. Boy, you're not kidding. The Return Peace Corps volunteers of Wisconsin, of Madison, are phenomenal and I think known nationally for your calendar, as you mentioned. In fact, I have an order that I'm supposed to bring back at least 10 of them. So I'll be assisting in your fundraising efforts. But really, the Return Peace Corps volunteer groups, and we have 140 across the country, are phenomenal and are well organized, actually, to continue the service. In exactly the way that Scott was mentioning. Thanks so much for your service, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott, for calling. Let's go to John in Burlington. Hi, John.
Good morning. My question is this. I have a senior in high school. My daughter, she plans to go become an education major and then join the Peace Corps or serve. Any words of advice as to what she should work on experience-wise to bring to that, you know, application process or, you know, that involvement, I guess?
Sure. I mean, I would say that's a great question. One of the most important things is just evidence of community servants, real motivation to serve, because it really is about service. And so the more volunteer work that she can do prior to her application, the better. There are certain courses of study that are helpful. We like to see folks who have experience in or have college degrees in biology or public health, but that's not necessary. I had a degree in political science and economics, so you know, I think the most important qualities that we look for in a volunteer are motivation to serve and flexibility. A sense of humor is way up there.
And your degree served you well because you needed it to become the director of the Peace Corps, right?
Absolutely. I'm relearning all about politics.
I'm sure you are. Deb sends an email. Does the Peace Corps require that volunteers have a college degree?
No, we don't, actually, although I would say the vast majority of our volunteers do, but it is not a requirement. What we really, for those who don't have a college degree, we require at least 10 years of service, I would say, of work experience. And I would say related to agriculture, if you've been a farmer for many years, those are skills we really need. If you have been working in business, those are very valid skills. So what we'd like to see is that you have a skill to impart to our communities.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, John? All right. Thanks very much for your call. Emmanuel in Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if your guest could explain why the requirement for the Peace Corps is that the volunteer be an American citizen. I'm originally from Romania myself, and my American wife and I were contemplating volunteering with the Peace Corps in Romania, but I couldn't get in because I'm not yet a citizen here.
Well, the reason for that is that this is a program of the U.S. government, and it is a requirement just because it's federally funded.
Thanks, Emmanuel, very much for the call. So once he established citizenship, and I know that can be a lengthy process, he would be able to serve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have actually a number of people who are recent immigrants, some people who have applied for Peace Corps on their very first day of citizenship. There was I met a Chinese man, a volunteer in Indonesia who had submitted his application to Peace Corps literally the day that he received his citizenship.
Hmm.
And we have several lost boys from Sudan. You know, I hate that term, but some of the the young boys who had been child soldiers who came over through various refugee resettlement programs,
yes.
and they wanted to give back, so they've become Peace Corps volunteers. We have a number of people from a number of different countries who have won the lottery. In many countries, we have a sort of a citizenship green card lottery, and some of them have won the lottery, and they've come over to this country, gotten citizenship, and then joined the Peace Corps. So we actually have an international group, but it is necessary to be a U.S. citizen.
Judy is next in North Prairie, and by the way, we have some lines open if you'd like to join us. 800-486-8655 is our number. Hi, Judy.
Hi. My son served in the Peace Corps in 2006 in Mozambique. We traveled over there as a family to see him. My mindset was he was all about the Peace Corps. I got injured there, and amazingly, the Peace Corps all came together and helped our family, and I will never, ever forget it. It made me realize how incredible these people are who give everything up to serve and help other people.
Well, thank you so much for that comment. We really do regard ourselves as a Peace Corps family, and we frequently use those words to describe ourselves. I have to give a shout out here to our host country staff. We have incredible staff. We have about 2,500 staff around the globe, and more than two-thirds are host country nationals, many of whom devote their entire career to supporting our volunteers and their families in the field. And they do work night and day, and when there's a crisis situation of any kind, they mobilize quickly with compassion and with great skill, and we have so much to thank them for.
Thank you so much for the call. Isn't it remarkable, this whole idea that somebody came up with this idea, which makes so much sense? It is elaborate, I'm sure, to put it all together when you just talked about the number of people all over the world, the staff all over the world. But just the idea, it's a simple idea that requires a lot, but it mostly requires good people to step forward with their knowledge to help other people in the world. The whole idea is just pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It is remarkable, and what's really remarkable is how quickly they put it together. John F. Kennedy was inaugurated in mid-January, and by March 1st, he had already signed the executive order establishing Peace Corps, and by August, we had volunteers on the ground. So it was remarkable in its speed. Actually, we had volunteers on the ground before it was even authorized by Congress. That would never happen today.
I'm sure it wouldn't.
But it is... You know, Peace Corps, especially in the early days, was they were building the ship while they were sailing it. And it was a great experiment. It was called the Towering Task. But it has grown and evolved and really now is the gold standard for volunteer programs internationally.
Do you know, are there other countries, Carrie, that do similar kinds of programs or not?
Yeah, several. Yeah, a number of them, actually. The British have a program called VSO, Volunteers in Service Overseas. It's a nonprofit. It's not run by the government. There is a Korean Peace Corps that was actually started with help from Peace Corps volunteers. Peace Corps served in South Korea for about 20 years and then left because they graduated and because South Korea became so developed. But Peace Corps has a very special relationship with South Korea. And as part of our partnership, we helped them begin the foundations of their own volunteer program, which is now very vibrant and works in many of the same countries that we work in. And we continue to have a strong relationship with the government of South Korea to this day.
Jerry in Madison. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. My son served in the Peace Corps from 2005 to 2007 in Swaziland, and he was in the health field. He was way out in the bush, and he worked in a health clinic. He instituted testing for HIV for pregnant moms while he was there. He wrote a grant and got money to build a soccer field in his village, and I traveled to see him in 2007 and had just a wonderful time with the people, and they were just all so kind to him. He lived on a homestead with a woman who looked like she was in her 80s, but after he was home, I found out that she was really younger than me.
Oh,
she was an incredible a role model for him. She was so hardworking.
Mm.
She was all by herself there. Her nephew and his wife lived there for a short time with their baby. But other than that, she was by herself. He had so many wonderful experiences there, and I traveled back myself in 2010, and I was just treated like a royalty by the people there.
Hmm.
They all remembered him. I even had a member of the parliament drive all the way out into the bush to greet me.
Huh.
And
what's your son doing now, Jerry?
Unfortunately, he was airlifted out of Swaziland. He became very sick when he only had 2 months left.
Oh.
And he had a brain tumor.
Oh, no. You know,
passed away.
Jerry.
Right here at home.
Oh.
Oh, I'm so
but
sorry
I still
to hear
have
that.
Contact with several of the people that he knew there. One was his acted as his translator while he was there at the clinic. And I have contact with his whole family, and they were just so wonderful when I returned. I took some of his ashes over in 2010, and we had a ceremony on the grounds of the Peace Corps there.
Mm.
And there is a tree and a plaque planted there on the in the compound in his memory.
Mm. Wow. You know, it is remarkable the bonds of friendship that are develop between Peace Corps volunteers and their communities. And
yes.
It really is so profound. And I think that what you viewed, even 3 years later, is a perfect example of how strong those relationships are.
His host family, his translator and myself traveled to their house the first night that I was there. And they were all standing out in the dark waiting for me to come. They had waited dinner for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they hugged and they cried with me. And they were just wonderful, so loving and so caring while I was there.
Yeah. You know, they'll never forget him. They'll be talking about him and the work that he did and how much he brought to their community for 40 years.
Right.
You know, I mean, really... I go all the time, wherever I go, I hear stories of Peace Corps volunteers, some of whom they haven't seen for 4 or 5 decades. I just know that your son's memory is going to live on in that community.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And she will be in contact with that community forever, too, it sounds like.
How wonderful that you're carrying that on.
Yeah. What a story. Oh. All right. We welcome more phone calls. And here's how you reach us. We're speaking with the deputy director of the Peace Corps this hour of the program, who happens to be in Madison. Carrie Hessler-Radelet is speaking today with students at the Global Health Institute on how Peace Corps volunteers are addressing global health issues. She served in the Peace Corps along with her husband. Her aunt served in the Peace Corps. Her grandmother served in the Peace Corps. And her nephew, she and her husband served in Western Samoa from 1981 to 1983. She taught high school and helped design a national public awareness campaign on disaster preparedness. She has served as a public affairs specialist in the Peace Corps New England Recruiting Office, was vice president and director of a global health organization responsible for overseeing public health programs in more than 85 countries, and she has worked in the field of public health for more than 2 decades. If you'd like to join our conversation, we would like very much to hear from you. If you were in the Peace Corps, if you have questions about how you can serve, if you have thoughts about global health initiatives, HIV, AIDS prevention programs, management programs throughout the world. We would love to hear from you. Lines are open for you at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The Deputy Director of the Peace Corps, Carrie Hessler-Radelet, is our guest. And let's go to an email that has come in. Carrie Ellis writes, as a returned Peace Corps volunteer who served in Jamaica, I know that Peace Corps historically accepts only traditionally married couples for service. Is the Peace Corps expanding its definition of marriage or considering this to include committed relationships that go beyond heterosexual marriages?
Excellent question. We actually are. Very shortly, we will initiate same-sex couple placement. We are doing it very carefully, making sure that, of course, we can guarantee as much as possible volunteer safety and security. But we will be initiating a program in 6 countries very shortly.
Okay. Elaine in Greendale, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I served in Kenya in 1982 and 83. And one of the things that I think we should talk more about is bringing the world back home with all those visitors we get. I had friends that visited me. My daughter spent almost a month with me. But my parents, at 72 years of age, came and spent 5.5 weeks with me and took so many pictures, talked to so many people that I knew, saw how so many of us lived and how many of the neighboring people lived, and came home and gave talks to I don't know how many different groups. They exposed all of southwestern Wisconsin, I think, to the wonderful things that Peace Corps and can do and what life in a third world country is like.
I couldn't agree more. And nowadays, it's so much easier with technology. Our volunteers are Skyping and tweeting and sending email and blogging. They are reaching out to communities every single day. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that what you're saying is true, is when family and friends visit, they change really dramatically as well, and are then wonderful ambassadors for the Peace Corps and for the country that they visited when they return home.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see us do more with visiting family members, and it's a topic that we're concerned about and are in the middle of developing a new strategy for friends and family.
And one other thing I'd like to say about family, I've been home now for 29 years, and I have had a party at my house for the people that I knew in Kenya in Peace Corps, whether they were in my teaching group or whether they were foresters or fisheries people or whatever, the people that I knew there or that I were friends of people that I knew there. And I've had a party all but about 3 summers here in Greendale. Tents in the backyard, bodies on the floor, in the rec room.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
But it's family.
Yeah, it is family.
Yeah, it's family. So anyway, thanks.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Isn't that something? 30 years she's had a party for all these people. That's great.
We do the same thing. We have a small group of return volunteers from Western Samoa. We get together every year, and then some of us get together once every month or two, those of us who live in the Washington area.
Melissa in Black River Falls. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I've always heard of the Peace Corps, and today is one of the first times I've heard an in-depth conversation about it. My question, I was wondering, is about funding. Where does the funding come from? Do ordinary citizens contribute? You know, what's the situation with that?
Thanks. That's a great question. Peace Corps is supported by your tax dollars. We are federally funded, and we receive our funding from Congress. We also reach out in partnership with other organizations, other government agencies. I mentioned earlier the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. We work closely with USAID. So we do get some programmatic support from some of those other federal agencies. But the vast, vast majority of our funding comes from Congress through our appropriated funds.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Melissa.
You.
John in Neillsville. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good. So I have a daughter in UW Green Bay, and she's going to be going to Africa for a water purification project, and she's considering the Peace Corps as a career. And I was wondering what kind of security measures are taken to make sure my daughter's going to be safe there, and also do they get paid of any kind, and what career opportunities are there for her after she gets out of the Peace Corps? I'll take my answer up there.
All right, John. Thanks.
Those are all excellent questions. Let me just start with the question of support. While volunteers are there, they receive a volunteer stipend, which enables them to live at the level of a person in their community. We also provide all of their medical care and transportation to and from the country. We also provide a readjustment allowance. So volunteers accrue a certain amount of money, several hundred dollars every single month that they serve, that then is available for them when they complete their service so that they can transition back into life in the United States. And it ends up being a pretty good sum of money, several thousand dollars. In terms of safety and security, I'm glad you asked that question. Safety and security of our volunteers is our number one priority. We spend enormous amounts of time and money trying to train our volunteers to reduce their risk, to prepare our staff to provide the very best care and support that they can should something happen. We work extensively with local communities, with local police, and with our host families to ensure that that the environment around volunteer service is as safe as possible. That said, it's, you know, life is risky no matter where you live, whether it's Madison, Wisconsin, or it's a small town in Zambia. But what we do is we train our volunteers to be very vigilant. We also have initiated some new training that is really best practice in this country called bystander intervention, which trains volunteers to look out for each other and to intervene if necessary if they see a volunteer who is a fellow volunteer who is about to enter into a risky situation. And so we feel very proud of our safety and security program. Especially in recent years, we've put enormous amounts of resources and really strong structures in place to support our volunteers.
Catherine,
No,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, in terms of a career move, I think Peace Corps is a great platform for any career, even if you choose to never leave the country again. Peace Corps volunteers have skills in problem solving and language and cross-cultural skills that will enable them to be excellent employees no matter what they do in life.
Do you have figures, Carrie, on the number of returned volunteers who have gone into public service? It's a huge number, isn't it?
It's a huge number, and I have to say that we don't have as much data on returned volunteers as I wish we had. I don't actually have those figures, but I know there was some research that was done by the National Peace Corps Association that it was a representative sample of about 11,000 of our 210,000 returned volunteers. And it shows that Peace Corps volunteers volunteer in their community at more than twice the rate of the average American citizen. So they continue to give back to their community and to their host country communities at a very high rate.
Catherine in Madison, hi.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I am recently returned in August from 3 years in Guatemala, and as a community health volunteer. And in addition to what you mentioned, Carrie, I wonder if you have any further information for recently returned volunteers looking to break into the public health field.
Absolutely. We have a brand new office of Third Goal and Return Volunteer Services, which is really focusing on sort of the transition period and career development. So first off, I would recommend that you get in touch with our office of Third Goal. And you can go to peacecorps.gov and then /RPCV, and you'll see a lot of resources there. In addition, there are many returned Peace Corps volunteers who are currently serving in public health schools or in public health careers, and through our Office of Third Goal, we can link you up with some of those. That I find that the best way to learn more about opportunities is to speak to someone who knows the field and can help point you in that direction. So this brand new Office of Third Goal and Return Volunteer Services is, I think, going to be a wonderful resource to our return volunteers. I'm delighted to hear that you're interested in a career in public health. I think there's nothing better than Peace Corps service to start a career in public health.
Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Sam in Madison, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having the show, and appreciate the time of the Deputy Director for I think it's important and great show. I'm a returned Peace Corps volunteer from Zambia, a small village in Zambia, to go off your reference, from 2000 to 2001. The comment I wanted to make was just a mutual appreciation of humility that happens through the Peace Corps experience. One, on behalf, I think, of all so many Peace Corps volunteers who go and are at the end of 2 years of service or three, and realize that they're some of their greatest life teachers and mentors are individuals from such different backgrounds, perhaps from probably from much less education. So for the term Peace Corps volunteer has that and carries with that with him or her whole life, and then the reciprocal sense that I think a lot of folks around the world may have of an American arrogance, I really think is undermined when with a Peace Corps philosophy of truly living living with, sharing meals with, and really living at the level. And while there are so many other wonderful opportunities to volunteer around the world, I know of no other organization that does it with that sort of commitment, and then the results from that, I think, are just tremendous. Hmm.
Thanks so much for that comment. I want to just pick up on something you said that I think is really important, and that is that most Peace Corps volunteers feel that they got more than they gave. And I frankly think that the impact goes both ways. But what you spoke to and what I know in my own situation is that I learned so much from my host country friends and from my host family that we live with. My public health career really was launched because of my relationship with my host mother, and who was only 7 years older than me, by the way. But, the relationships that we develop are transformative, and they go both ways. We are so enriched by our experience overseas, and we also, I think, our impact and influence far exceeds anything that we understand either.
Thank you so much, Sam. Vivian in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there's any talk or thought that this would be a long-term process, but for instituting a national service for all youth, let's say at 18, and or graduating from high school, and youth could choose Peace Corps opportunities or VISTA volunteers or working in the community, even people who are with disabilities could have service opportunities.
Okay, what do you think of that idea, Carrie?
You know, I'm a big fan of national service. I think that service is so important to the individual who is giving the service and also is important for the person receiving it. Martin Luther King has a wonderful quote that is, everyone can be great because everyone can serve.
Mm-hmm.
I think our country needs service, and I think our country was built on service. So I'm fully in favor of national service, whether it's compulsory or whether there's just much more support for, you know, volunteer service. I think that's a question that's open for debate, but I am fully in favor of both domestic and international service.
Thank you, Vivian, for your call. Linda Kenosha, hi.
This is Jane from Madison.
Oh, I'm sorry. I pushed the wrong button. I mean, I'm not sorry. I'm happy to talk to you, Jane, but yeah, all right. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. Well, my son was a volunteer in Togo, West Africa, in 2002 and 2003, I think it was. And he was in the Peace Corps as part of a master's program. And there are several universities in the United States that offer a master's program where the Peace Corps becomes part of the a venue for the research that they do for their master's thesis.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he came back and finished his master's degree, and he decided to go on to receive a PhD, and he was the Peace Corps volunteer on campus while he was doing that. So he paid for his PhD that way.
And on that note, that's a great story. We're almost out of time here. We have several people who want to know how they can become involved. Can you give us a website or something, Carrie, that would be helpful?
Sure. www.peacecorps.com. gov.
Okay.
G-O-V.
.gov.
Absolutely. Check it out.
Yeah, check it out. We got a lot of people who want to do just that this hour. So thank you so much for being with us. Have a good time in Madison today.
Can I mention one thing? There's
yes.
a panel tonight that was put on by the Madison Committee on Foreign Relations at the University of Wisconsin University Club at State Street from 7:30 to 8 o'clock tonight. So I will be there. My husband will also be there, and I think it's open to the public.
Great. And particularly, you'd like to see some return volunteers, I'm sure.
Love to see return volunteers,
Thanks,
always.
Carrie. Thanks. Carrie Hessler Radelet is our guest this hour, and we have more information about all of this on our Facebook page. Thanks to Brett Jaspers and Rhonda Fanning, who produce this program. Till tomorrow.